We have children's worship in the back. Your kids are welcome to go there. Or they're welcome to stay in here. I want to thank our worship team. Okay. There is someone that has a word of knowledge for someone with pain in their right foot. So if that is you, if you're having pain in your right foot, at the end of the service, there'll be an altar team up here, and a person that had that word would like to pray for you. So if that's you, at the end of the service, we want to give opportunity for ministry, okay? So, all right. Great. Let's pray. Father, as we just to look outside, we see, Lord, the sunshine coming through the windows. We felt it when we got up this morning. It was a little cloudy, but Lord, you cleared up the sky, made it beautiful. And Lord, you truly do make all things beautiful. And Father, this morning I ask that you would help us all, Lord. You're the God who gives help and strength. Even the psalmist said, the Lord is my helper. Lord, help us as your people to stand firmly upon your word, to stand in faith, to stand with diligence in the day that we live in, to stand, Lord, in such a way that we honor you in what we say and what we do, how we treat others. But Lord, most of all, help us to stand firmly for the gospel, the truth of Christ, in what seems to be a day where wind is blowing on every hand doctrinally, and people are dismayed, discouraged, deceived. Help us, Lord, to stand with a sobriety in our hearts, God, that you are the Lord. Fill our hearts, Lord, with expectation, with faith, with hope, with confidence, with joy, with peace. Fill us, Lord, so that we can serve you in strength, the strength of the Lord. Is my prayer. I ask, Father, that you would help me now to share with your people those things, Lord, that are precious to you and very important to us and should be precious to us. Grant, Lord, a liberty with your Spirit that you might work in this place to the honor of your name. Amen. Amen. Quite some time ago, actually before Resurrection Sunday and quite a while back, started to share with the church about Jesus's command, the great commandment to love one another. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And we started to go down a road looking at love, what it looks like as far as how it's what it's like in everyday clothes. You know, we hear the word love all the time on advertisements, TV, and all kinds of situations. And love can be looked at as being a certain feeling, a certain emotion. I don't know how to describe it. But what we want to do is look at what love is really like from God's point of view and what it looks like in everyday clothes. When we're interacting with people, when we're living our lives. And so we started down a journey looking at love and how that commandment plays out in our daily life. And was encouraged before with Ray sharing about encouraging and stimulating others to love and good works. Pastor Bill will be sharing, I'm sure, when he's kind of up and around. Up and around more than he is right now. Let's put it this way. Shared some things before Resurrection Sunday on bearing one another's burdens. And really, we started to look at this idea of the one another passages in the Scripture. And if you want to do a Bible study sometime, I would encourage you to take a concordance and just go through the Scriptures, look up all the one another's. We're going to hit on a lot of them. But that's what the Christian life is all about, loving one another with the love that Christ has loved us. And that's worked out in different ways. And so this morning, what I would like to do is I would like to take one of the areas of loving that I think is one of the, I don't want to say the most important, but probably one of the things that's the greatest challenge. And that is the area of forgiveness. If you would go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're just going to look at one verse. Well, actually, we're going to look at more than one, but we're going to look at one first. And be kind to one another. Now, that's another one of the one another's. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we want to look at this verse a little bit and see what love looks like when it comes to forgiveness. I'm not going to deal with a lot of this today. I'm going to save most of it for next week and the week after that. The reason is because I want you to look at some verses throughout the week and pray through them. I want you to think about them. We're going to share communion next week. But I want you to really ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to show you issues about forgiveness in your life that you need to deal with. Okay? So here we find these words that we're to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But now there's a way of doing that that Paul talks about, even as what? Even as God in Christ forgave us. In other words, the standard for forgiveness is, I'm to forgive Harley. Boy, you messed up, Harley. He really hasn't. But I'm supposed to forgive Harley even as, just like God has forgiven me. Huge issue in the life of a believer. Forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Why don't we take a minute? Sounds like that guy's in a hurry. Okay, let's pray. Lord, whenever we hear a siren, we're reminded that one in our midst serves you in the area of law enforcement. And Father, whether that's a trooper or a local policeman or if it's somebody going to a fire, Lord, we're lifting them up and we're asking that your mercies would be upon them, your protection, your help, your comfort, your strength, and your wisdom, Lord, that they might be able to help those who are in any kind of trouble right now. So, God, we thank you for that privilege that you give to us to remember people and pray for people in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, that's something that we as a family have started to do because Isaiah is a trooper. Whenever we hear a siren, we try to just remember, pray for that guy. Not just Isaiah, but pray for that person too. So that's a good reminder, a good key to prayer. Amen. And where was I? Forgiving like Christ forgave me. I don't know if you really understand, I'm sure you do, but the consequence of unforgiveness. When Jesus taught, and this is just going to be an informal time this morning, no, not preachy kind of stuff, but when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, I think it's chapter 5, one of the things that he said was this, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses, depending on which gospel you're reading. But in Matthew, he goes back and he comments on what he's just taught about prayer. And the only part that he elaborates on, the only part that he expands on when it comes to prayer, is the issue of forgiveness. Actually, let's go over to Matthew 5 for just a minute. Maybe that'd be a good place to settle in for just a minute. We all know that we're supposed to forgive. I think every person knows we're supposed to forgive. That's a common teaching. Unless in some cultures, forgiveness is seen as a weakness. And in their culture, it's a strength to not forgive. Well, it's a strength in their culture, but it's not a strength before God. It's chapter 5? It is 6:15. You're right. Okay, chapter 6. See, I'm not so sure anymore. This age stuff catches up to you, doesn't it? Not really. Verse 9 of chapter 6. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But then in the next verse, notice what he says, for. And that four is a connecting word in verse 14. That's a connecting word to what he's just spoken about. Now, all of us would agree that the Lord's Prayer is hugely important, right? I mean, it's the model prayer for us as believers. It's kind of the model that Jesus has given to us on how to pray, how to enter into the throne room of God, how to minister before the Lord in prayer and supplication. It's basically the pattern. But now what he does is he expounds on what he's just spoken about because he wants to be very clear on this point. Anytime Jesus goes back and reiterates something, it's because it's important. Everything he says is important. Every single word, every jot, every tittle, everything is important. But when he explains something a second time, right after he's just spoken about it, he is trying to emphasize the huge importance of this issue. And so he says this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not real smart in a lot of ways, but I know one thing. What Jesus just said there, and everything he said, is important. But this is extremely important because he emphasized it. And this is probably one of the areas that Christians find to be so difficult. Forgiveness. Hurts. Things that have happened. Belittlements, aggressions against us. We may have been Christians when it happened. We may not have been Christians. But the fact is that all of us are called by God to forgive. And we're especially to forgive one another. As God in Christ has forgiven us. And so when Jesus says these words that if we will forgive, we have forgiveness. But if we don't forgive, God withholds forgiveness from us. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I need a lot of forgiveness. I mean, I need it. I want it. And you need it. And I'm sure you probably want it. But wanting it and needing it doesn't mean you get it unless you walk in agreement with God. We cannot walk in God's forgiveness if we are unforgiven. It's plain and simple. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar to understand Jesus' words here. Now, if you go over to Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 18. Matthew 18. Well, actually, Matthew 18 I'm going to get to, but not today. Go back. Sorry about that, folks. Matthew chapter 5. I was right in chapter 5 before. I just had my mind going in a different direction. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said by those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore," now, by the way, let me stop. Would you say that Jesus is talking about a serious subject here? Okay. "Therefore," now again, what's "therefore," "therefore"? I always try to say that to you because we always want to look at it. What's "therefore," "therefore"? Emphasis. It's "therefore," what's come before, he says now, based upon what I've just said, what I've just spoken to you, "therefore," he gives instruction. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. And go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now, this issue of forgiveness supersedes the worship of God. Because we cannot properly worship God with unforgiveness in our heart. Because God is a God who has forgiven us. And because he has forgiven us, he says, "Now I place it as a responsibility for you to take up, to recognize the forgiveness I've given to you. And when you come into my presence as one who is forgiven, one who's bringing a gift of worship, one who's bringing a gift to honor me, if you come into my presence and there you recognize," and I would assume it's because there's conviction, the Holy Spirit has revealed something about relationship with somebody, "you know that your brother has something against you. If you come into my presence and you know that things are not right between you and a brother, and he's offended, hurt, angry, there's something that's coming between you," he said, "here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop what you're doing. Stop worship. And I want you to go to that brother and get things right between you and that brother." And that includes sisters too, ladies. Okay. "I want you to stop your worship because I want you to have a forgiving heart. I want your brother to have a forgiving heart. I want there to be peace between you because I'm a God of peace. And I want you to understand the dimension that peace and forgiveness brings in relationships. I want you to go. Get it right first. And then I want you to come because your heart is clean. Because you're in a right relationship with that person. Then I want you to come back and I want you to pick up where you left off. I want you to come back into my presence. Worship me." Now, If you think about this, folks, we put a lot of emphasis on worship. When I say we, I'm talking about the Christian church. We put a lot of emphasis on music, on the arts, on many, many things that are forms of expression to worship God. Instruments, banners, flags, all kinds of expression. But I'm wondering at times what God thinks when he sees that and at the same time sees a heart that is unforgiving. When he hears the sounds of our voices, which are greatly pleasing in his ears, when our hearts are right, when there's forgiveness, when there's a sense of awe at his presence in such a way that we recognize that because he's a God of forgiveness and he's forgiven us much. And now he says, I want you to extend to others the same thing that I have extended to you. I want you to be a forgiver. I want you to understand my heart for you. I want you to understand it costs something to forgive. I want you to do that. When the scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord, God is always calling us up higher. He's always calling us into the likeness of Christ, to take on his character, to take on his attitudes, to take on his grace and love, if you would say it that way. He wants us to be a gracious people because he's a gracious God. He wants us to be a loving people because he's a loving God. He wants us to be a forgiving people because he's a forgiving God. He wants us to be a blessing people because he's a blessing God. And so when it comes to this issue of forgiveness, the one thing that we need to even come into a right relationship with God is forgiveness. No one can come before the Lord without having received forgiveness through Christ. Our only access into the throne room is the blood of Christ. What we sang about earlier is the atoning work of Christ is the way that we come into the presence of God. We receive forgiveness through the death of Christ. Now, we know that as Christians. But now what God says to us is, he says, because I have made a way, a precious way, a holy way to come to me, I want you to respect that way. I want you to respect what I have done by doing the same to others, by taking on my character, by forgiving others like you have been forgiven. And yet, I believe, and I think I'm not too far off the mark, when I think of the Christian church, how many times there's unforgiveness among believers. Where there's little resentments that are held. There's little things that have happened. There's words that have been spoken that have not been clarified. And there's been offenses taken up. Or there's been petty disagreements. Or there's been deep wounds sometimes. But those deep wounds have not been healed because there's been a lack of forgiveness, a lack of understanding that God requires this of me for my own health, for my own benefit, and for the benefit of others. When Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, if as I have loved you, you can put right alongside, this is my commandment, that you forgive one another as I have forgiven you. See, because the two go together, that's the expression of love for Christ. That's expression of love for what Jesus has done for us. Is us saying, Lord, I want to be a forgiving person. And that doesn't mean it comes easy. It doesn't mean it comes automatically. It doesn't mean it comes with great, how should I say it? I've already said easily, so I'll ease again. It doesn't come natural to us because naturally, by our natural nature, what we are inside, before Christ, we are self-centered, self-focused. And it doesn't come natural to us to forgive people. Oh, a lot of times, you know what I've heard people say at times? Well, they'll say things like this. They won't say, forgive me. They'll say, I'm sorry. And the response is sometimes, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. And our culture today, and even in the church culture, many times, instead of forgiveness being asked for and forgiveness being extended and things being made right, there's this, oh, I apologize. I challenge any of you to look in the scripture and find the word apologize anywhere. We're not supposed to issue apologies. We're supposed to repent for doing wrong, for causing hurt, for causing other people difficulty. We're supposed to repent for having wrong attitudes towards individuals and before God. We're supposed to repent. We're supposed to turn. We're supposed to acknowledge that, God, this way I've treated this brother, this sister, my mother, my father, my kids, this way that I've spoken to them, treated them, has been hurtful, unkind. And I've really offended you. Now, get it right. God doesn't get offended the way we get offended. When I say offended, what we've done is we've basically stuck out our tongue and said, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, to His Holiness. That's what we've done. And far worse than that. But we have acted childish towards God. So this idea of forgiveness, as we look at it this next week and probably the week after that, of what does forgiveness look like? How does it take place? How do you know if you've forgiven? What is it that's required? What does God require of you when you forgive somebody? Just to say I'm sorry, or does it go deeper? Do you need to forgive yourself? We'll look at that for a little bit. Some people ask that question. They say, I can't forgive myself. Well, we'll look at that in a little bit. But I wanted to share with you a couple of things that the Lord gave me, and I'm going to wrap it up very quickly here, I promise. As I was praying about this, I decided to write something down because I knew unless the Lord really just impacted me deeper with it, He did. But my memory has not been the greatest lately, and that's not an excuse. I just wanted to be sure I was giving you what the Lord gave me. Look at Matthew chapter 18 for just a minute. Matthew 18, that's where I was going to go. We'll look at this in more context later on. But most of you are familiar with the servant that was forgiven, and then he held a fellow servant accountable when he was forgiven of something. In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, we find these words. And then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, according to the Jewish tradition and teaching, three times was sufficient. More than three times was not required. So Peter's going way overboard, says, hey, up to seven times, Jesus, that's, you know, way more. Then Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And then he gives a parable, the parable of this servant who owed a king a great amount of money. And it was a huge amount, millions of dollars, and he couldn't pay it. And all he did was ask the king, please forgive the debt. And the king says, okay. He forgave the debt. And then what happened was that servant went and he had a servant who owed him just a little bit, a tiny amount. And he says, pay me your debt. And the guy says, you know, I don't have it. Please forgive it. Now, he'd already been forgiven. This other guy's been forgiven already. But he doesn't. He throws the guy in jail. We're all familiar with this parable, I think. If not, just go ahead and read it. But I want to focus on verse 33 through verse 35. And I'll tell you what the Lord spoke to my heart about this. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Whenever God says, should you not, it means you should have. When He says, should you not have, the idea of it is you should have done this, but you didn't do this. But notice how he says, just as I had pity on you. Just as, in the same manner. Remember in Ephesians where it talks about forgive one another even as God has forgiven you in Christ? or in Christ has forgiven you. There's this match. Just like I've forgiven you, you should have forgiven. Same thought. And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. Notice verse 35. So, my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This is the second time that Jesus has taught about forgiving others of their trespasses. Earlier in Matthew and now this. And here's what the Lord showed me. To act in a manner contrary to God's command is open rebellion to his lordship. To act in a manner contrary to his command is open rebellion to his lordship. There's no other word for it other than open rebellion. I will not do that. And here's what I came to after thinking about this for a little bit. It is to set your law or your standard above the king's law or his standard. His standard says, you will forgive as I've forgiven you. That's the way my kingdom works. And I'm not talking about legalism, rules. He's simply saying, look, the laws of my kingdom are this. You've been forgiven. You have a debt to forgive. That's the way my kingdom works. That's the way my law is held. Now, you think if you refuse to forgive, what you're basically saying is you're saying my law is superior to God's law. My standard is above God's standard. That's what it is. We may not recognize it. We may not say it with our mouth. We may not even know we're doing it, but that's in fact what we're doing from our heart. We're saying, no, God. And so to do that is, secondly, to act in a manner opposite the character of the king and to insult the king. The character of the king, his character, is to forgive. In the Psalms, it says that God is ready to forgive, quick to forgive, wanting to forgive. He's merciful. He wants to bring forgiveness. That's his character. But if I say, no, I'm not going to do that. What we're doing is we're acting in a manner that's contrary to his character. And we're insulting him. We're saying my character is better than your character. The way I handle things is better than the way you handle things. Number three. It's saying by your actions, the ways of the king are not as wise as my ways. You say, well, that's what you've been saying. Exactly, but sometimes we get it if we say it more than once. What we're saying is the king should extend mercy to me. I should get mercy from the king. But on the other hand, I have no obligation to extend mercy to others. That's what we're saying. Wrap it up this way. Number four, to not forgive your offender is to stand in judgment on God, on all that he is, and all he represents. To not be willing to forgive your offender is to actually stand in judgment upon God. You are determining that God does not have the right. You are judging God that he does not have the right to be God. He doesn't have the right to give you direction for life. You're standing in judgment of God. Now, how many of us would say, you know, God, I'm going to judge you right now. None of us would do that intentionally. I don't think any of us would. But when we refuse to bring our heart in compliance with the Lord's goodness and follow his leadership, what we're basically doing is we're judging him as not being God. See, because God has a right, but if we don't think he has a right, then we're saying you're not God. You have no right to my allegiance. You have no right to my obedience. You have no right to my heart. We're saying, in a sense, well, it's kind of like this. God says to us, my ways are just. But what we're saying to God is not so, God. Your ways are not just. He's saying that he's merciful. He says that mercy triumphs over judgment. But what we say is, no, mercy is not wise. Holding a grudge is wise. Here's what we're, think about it this way, the character of God. God's character says, I am willing to set the captive free. I'm willing to break off the shackles and the chains that bind people up, that hold them in bondage. And we say, no, bondage is better. That's what we do. So as we get into this idea of forgiveness, by the way, I want you to know, I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. The cross of Jesus was not easy for him. The cross was painful. The cross cost him. And forgiveness will be painful. It will cost you. But it will also set you free. The cross, when Jesus went to the cross in his physical body, he died. But in his death in the physical, he also arose with a new body, resurrection life, resurrection power, different than he was before. He was always God, but new, different. More conformed to the reality of who he really is, God in the flesh. When you forgive and when you learn how to forgive and you're willing to step out and begin to do it God's way, what will happen is it will be painful at first. But what happens is when you forgive and when you walk it through, when you walk it out, and you find the liberating power of freedom in God, the freedom from the bondage that was holding you, the bondage of resentment, bitterness, hatred, when you find the freedom from that, it's worth it. Okay? So, Lord willing, by the grace of God, next week we tackle forgiveness. So, what I want to do is I want to pray. I want to pray for all of us that God would give us open hearts, receptive hearts. Some of those verses that I read, I want you to go back and just read through, think about, meditate on. And by the way, just to let you know, God wants you free from bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness more than you want yourself free. And he will do that when we cooperate with him. Let's stand together.